It's really good to see all of you here today. I'm glad that our children, our youth, and our young adults are with us as well today. I'm glad you're all here to hear of and to witness for yourself the faithfulness of God in our church the past 25 years. Just out of curiosity, how many of us were part of Fraserlands in 1991 when we met at the Champlain Heights Recreation Center? If you were part of this service in any way between 1991 and 1994, if you sat in one of the worship services, can I ask you to please stand where you are? Don't be shy. Please stand where you are if you were part of this worship service in 1991-94. Okay, I have a word for you. I have a word for each and every one of you. Look around. These are the only people who have permission for the next 10 minutes to fall asleep. Okay, please have a seat. Please have a seat. The rest of you, I hope you can give ear. I hope you can give ear and listen to what God has done among us these past 25 years. You see, the story of Fraserlands Church, it's a story of God's faithfulness and our thankfulness. It's a story of God's faithfulness and our thankfulness. We're thankful for the past. We're thankful for the present. And we're thankful for the future. Why are we thankful for the past? We're thankful for the past because of God's provision. Yanjie Sandik Gongying. Because of God's provision. You see, from the very beginning, we've witnessed and we've seen the hand of God in the midst of nothing. We had nothing. No usable land, no building, no real ministry, no place to meet. And so we just met outside to pray right on this property in the sunshine, in the rain, and even in the snow. Every Saturday morning for 3 years, we would gather for prayer at 8 a.m. in the morning and ask for the Lord's presence to be in this place, to fall on this place, to prepare the people, to prepare this community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for what God has indeed done among us and created something out of nothing. This was our first baby dedication in 1993. So we started the church in 1991, right? First year, 1991, no babies. Second year, no babies. Third year, we had a stellar year, 3 babies. Some of those are still around today. And this is what it is today, a typical baby dedication at Fraserlands. This was our children's ministry back then in the early days. This is our children's ministry today. This is our youth ministry, our teens ministry back then in the early days. This is our teens, our youth, the young adults today. This was our drama ministry back then. It was not good drama, believe me. This is what our drama ministry is like today. This is our Mandarin ministry back then. Actually, did I forget a photo? I don't think so. Because you know what? There was no Mandarin ministry back then. In the early 90s. It wasn't until the late 90s, 2000, that we started the Mandarin ministry. And this is the Mandarin ministry today. This was the Cantonese ministry back in, you can see on the slide, 1993. This is our Cantonese ministry today. I didn't get a chance to get a large group shot, but our Cantonese brothers and sisters, they know how to fellowship. They always eat when they get together. This is our English congregation back then. This is our English congregation today. This is what a typical joint service might look like, maybe two times the size of that number of people. This is our joint service just a few years ago. We're thankful that God has indeed provided all this out of nothing. As some of you know, one of my favorite photos of our early years of our church is this picture. It's a picture of our stage right here with people standing on the stage. It's a picture of our stage when it was first poured, when the concrete was first poured. There's no walls, no beams, no roof had been put up yet. And as we stood here each and every week to pray, it is a picture of utter dependence upon God. For him to create something out of nothing. Our God, as our sister Anlachmi said earlier, our God is a God who can do that. He turns water into wine. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds the multitude. He heals the sick, the blind, the broken. He raises the dead to life. As the physical foundations of our church was being poured, the spiritual foundations of our church was being formed. Because we were relying on the provision of God through prayer. Through prayer. As I was looking at this picture earlier this week, I go, there's something profound about this picture. Prayer precedes preaching. Prayer precedes preaching. Before a sermon was ever preached on this stage, there was prayer. Prayer precedes preaching. Prayer precedes planning. Prayer precedes putting up anything, constructing and building. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we embark on another building project, we need to have the same reliance upon God, the same utter dependence upon God. We don't have the money yet. And so we need to trust God to provide when we only have 1/3 of the funds right now. For those of us who have been here from the very beginning, we've seen 2 building projects already. In 1992, when the sanctuary and all that was first built, and then in 1999, when the chapel and the underground parking were built. So there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to doubt that God will provide for us again as we put our faith and our trust in him. The Lord says in Malachi chapter 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. We're thankful for the past because of God's provision, creating something out of nothing. We're thankful for the present. Sorry, my slide for whatever reason is not working. We're thankful for the present because of God's preparation. Because of God's preparation. Yanja Sandik Yube. Because of God's preparation. For brothers and sisters serving and working together for the glory of God. How is God's glory seen in his people? There's so many ways. I'm not going to go through them. The New Testament lists so many ways how God's glory is seen in his people. There are numerous examples. God is putting us together. God is knitting us together. God is forming us. He's connecting us. He's interconnecting us. Our hearts, our minds, our will, our spirit. God is preparing us. It's like we're all one large jigsaw puzzle. This picture was first taken 2 years ago in our inauguration meeting, October 2014. Now, if I was to make a jigsaw puzzle out of this picture, this is how it would look like. You can see that no 2 pieces are the same. We're all very different. And yet we're all crucial to the overall picture, the overall plan, the overall purpose of God for Fraserlands Church. Some of you may have received a piece of a puzzle when you came in. And if you did, then don't throw this away. Well, first of all, don't take this for communion later on. but don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Know this, that you are an important piece, an important puzzle to God's overall plan and purpose here at Fraser Lands. You see, Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this. Let's read this together, shall we? Let's read this Ephesians 4 together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, God is preparing us. He's preparing his church. As our vision statement says, that we are to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. He's preparing us to be this church. He's preparing us to be this way in the near future. But before we can do this, we really need to be a church of the nations that we already have among us. And we have many nations among us already. Just look around. Look around. We're already many people of various nations. How will we love them? How will we love one another? How will we love our Cantonese brothers and sisters, our Mandarin brothers and sisters? How will we love their children? How will we care for them? How will we include others? I love this picture of our English congregation. We have her back facing us, a Korean sister, a Caucasian brother, El Salvadorian sister, a Middle Eastern brother. At least he claims to be one quarter Middle Eastern, but we'll take that. A Japanese brother in Christ. We have nations among us already. Brothers and sisters, we need to continue to love each other genuinely, to serve each other in humility and in gentleness. If there's a need, if there's a need in one of our congregations, we need to step forward and fill that need. Whether it be in the Cantonese congregation, the English, the Mandarin, our youth, our children. We need to step forward to fill that need because we are family. We're family. 25 years ago, we were acquaintances. We came together as acquaintances. But after 25 years, we're more than acquaintances. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are family. So how will we treat our family? How will we love our family? How will we serve our family? And lastly, I just want to share one last thing. This is how we become a church of all nations. By becoming a church of the nations that God has already given to us here at Fraser Lands. So we're thankful for the past because of God's provision. We're thankful for the present because of God's preparation. And then lastly, we're thankful for the future because of God's promise. Because of God's promise. And what is his promise to us? That he will never leave us nor forsake us. That he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will do the works I've been doing and they'll do even greater works because I'm going to the Father. And just before Jesus left for the Father, he said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I commanded you. And surely, I am with you always until the very end of the age. This is God's promise to us, that Jesus Christ will be with his people until the very end of the age. In his heavenly vision, the Apostle John saw in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, the promise of God. For the future. This is the promise of God for the future. And let's read this together to end off. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits in the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the story of Phraselands Church. It's a story of God's faithfulness and our thankfulness. We're thankful for the past because of God's provision. We're thankful for the present because of God's preparation. And we're thankful for the future because of God's promise that we will be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. May all glory and honor go to God. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Abe, bringing us to study ancient history. And I'll give you modern history. Just 5 years ago, we planted this tree to remember the 20th anniversary. Who did it? All the pastoral staff did it. Have you taken a look outside after the storm? See if the tree is still surviving? Yes, I checked. It's like that, maybe losing a few more leaves, but still standing. But the problem is still skinny, still short, not growing. That's our problem. We wish we had planted this kind of tree. I like this kind of tree. Palm tree, they are tall, big, and it's biblical. Why? Let's read the Bible verses from Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still... So palm tree is very biblical. And even we have a Palm Sunday. 25 years ago, God planted a tree. Phraselands, from Isaiah 61, 3, it's a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, for his glory. He planted a tree called Phraselands. And we're thankful that God planted this tree through the vision of our beloved late Reverend Augustus Chow, and also the generous support, nurture, and help from the Mother Church, Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. We are forever in debt to their grace. God planted this church. It's for his own glory. And we want to learn a lesson from the tree today. I wish, this is my hope and my prayer, that Phraselands tree will become a blessing to the community. Look at this tree. I want you to take this tree into your heart and file it somewhere so that you can remember this picture for a very long time. Because this tree will tell us Phraselands, the role of Phraselands in this community. Now, this tree isn't very common, but when you see this tree in the desert, you will love this tree because you can sit under there, take a nap. If you've been traveling for a long time, you're tired, you can always get into the shade. So, Phraselands, we don't have to do a lot and try to change the world. We just branch out and allow people to come under our shadow so that they can get rest. They can get comfort. They are encouraged. They will find eternal life. They will see the eternal hope that God has given to us. I hope and I pray that Fraser Land will become a tree that allows people to come under our shadow. God will also help us to grow. Let's read John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. God will do the maintenance work. He will ensure and enable us to bear fruit. Now, that little tree outside will never grow tall. For the 5 years, I have never seen a flower being blown like that. This is outside of our home. I never seen one single flower from that tree, not to mention fruits. You know, dogwood has fruit. And the first question you will ask is, sing sik daka. I Google dogwood and I found out that it's edible. You can eat that fruit, but it's tasteless. So why bear fruit? Why have flowers? We want to see flowers. We want to see fruit because this is a sign of healthy condition. We want to see Fraserland bear fruit. Not allowing people to eat, but to show God we are healthy. We are growing. We are normal. And another sign is fruit means multiplication. We look at fruit. Hopefully we can enjoy the fruit. But from the tree's point of view, fruit means multiplication. Fruit contains seeds. Seeds will grow more trees. More trees will grow more fruits. We should look at the tree's perspective and pray that Fraserland will grow fruit and will multiply. And hopefully this church will become a blessing to the community. This is my prayer, my hope. Fraserland, spread out and allow people to come under our shadow. Fraserland, bear fruit so that we can multiply. We can show the world that we are growing in good health. May God be glorified.
Good morning and God bless you. My wife Marilyn and I are so honored to be here with you today on this occasion. Sincere thanks to Pastor Paul and to the Board of Elders for the honor afforded to us to be with you this morning, worshiping together, reflecting on the journey of these 25 years. And then having an opportunity to participate in this way, I'm very grateful. And of course, we are looking forward to lunch. On behalf of Marilyn and myself, on behalf of Car Park Chan, Assistant DS for Chinese Ministries, and his wife, Siuk Ling, on behalf of the other pastors and elder boards, of our other 82 Alliance churches in the province of British Columbia, on behalf of our international workers serving Jesus around the globe, two of whom at least are here this morning, Tim and Brenda Chosvold are in the audience, and we bless and welcome them this morning. On behalf of these individuals, we sincerely congratulate the church family, three congregations, of Fraser Lance Church, and we bless you and we bless God for these 25 years of ministry. I want to just take a moment this morning, first of all, to express my own personal love and respect and appreciation for your leaders, as I have come to know them. I've had numerous conversations and occasions to meet with, to work alongside, to plan things, to serve together in various teams. I've met with your board on several occasions, and I want you to know how graciously I have been received. I want you to know how positive and constructive and joy-filled those conversations and those meetings have been. I want you to know that I hold your pastoral team and your board of elders in very high regard. I know that they're imperfect people. I know we are all human and we mess up and we are in need of the grace of God. But as I have reflected on my relationships with your pastoral team and your board of elders, a phrase from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 has come to my mind. The context of the phrase is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's organizing this offering for the fellow believers who are in financial need. And he sends a group of believers along with Titus to the Corinthians to gather that offering that will be made available to those who are suffering. And he uses a phrase to describe those people who are accompanying Titus to receive that offering. He calls them representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. And I want you to know that that's how I feel about your pastoral team and about the board of elders of Fraserland Church. These representatives of the church and the churches, in my experience, are an honor to Christ. And part of the gift of God that we celebrate today, part of the provision of God for this church, is faithful women and men who step into these positions of leadership with open and humble hearts to serve the purposes of God and serve the church family. I want you to know how grateful that I am to Jesus and to them for their leadership. On this great occasion, the other thing that I want to accomplish is simply to remind you from God's holy word about who you are. You are the church, the people of the living God. We need to always distinguish in our minds, in our hearts, and in our speech, all these different ways and various ways in which we use the word church. Church is the building that we meet in. Where are you meeting? We're meeting over at the church. Church is the social, the organizational dimension of a people who gather together in one place and seek to accomplish some things together. The church. I'm meeting with some church people. But the essence, of course, of the term church is to be the people of God, called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered in his name, making up his one unique people. All three of those uses of the term church have their place. Church as a building is important, right? Wouldn't you rather be inside than outside this morning? I grew up in northern Saskatchewan. Very cold winters. I heard the story of how one of our early Alliance pastors came to church, first one to arrive very early on a winter morning. And he went into the washrooms and the church kitchen to check that the water was running and the pipes had frozen. And wanting to have everything working when people began to arrive for the service, as he had done in the past, he took out his little portable propane torch. And now you know where this story is going. And he took the torch to the pipes to find out if he could get the water. And the pastor burned the whole church down. And people have never forgotten that. What a way to create a legacy as a pastor. People never forget. Now, Pastor Paul, don't get any ideas. Church Church as a building is important. Churches are built. They are expanded. We use them. They are tools in our hands. Thank God for the church building. Thank God for the church as a collection of people who gather together and for all of the organization that goes into being the people of God together. But at our heart, at your heart, of the whole conception of church is the reality that King Jesus, by his Spirit, has called you to himself. And you who belong to Jesus, you are the church, the people of the living God, called to proclaim his excellencies to angels and demons, to people around the world, and to people right next door. You, if you belong to Christ, you belong to the one holy, unique people of God, the one sovereignly created, supernaturally created enterprise in the whole cosmos. If you are a follower of Christ, you are the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church as Jesus builds her. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a member of the people of God, you are the bride of Jesus collectively. And he will not be turned aside as he beautifies, as he matures, as he strengthens, as he takes away every wrinkle, every blemish in making his bride, his people, to be mature, rooted in him, godly, reaching to the nations, living truthfully before him, living humbly in his presence, and being useful in his hands. You are the church. Thank you for responding to the call of God, and thank you for being faithful, Fraserlands Church, to the place that God has planted you. And because Jesus Christ is Lord, and because you are the church, we have hope for the next 25 years. God bless you.